Whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and for that of the gospel will save it. This reminds me of a quote from St. John Vianney, who said, you have less to suffer from embracing the cross than you do from embracing the world and all its pleasures. You have less to suffer by embracing the cross than from embracing the world and all its pleasures. Why? How could this be true? How could this be true? Because embracing the cross means embracing suffering, and embracing the pleasures of the world means embracing pleasure, and that sounds way more fun, or at least less painful. Well, here's kind of what Jesus is saying here. Whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. Let me just add a word in here. Not supposed to do that, but I think it helps. Whoever wishes to save his life will lose it anyway. Because you know what's going to happen? You're still going to end up old and sick and tired and sick and tired and sick and tired of being old and any combination thereof. Endlessly, you're going to spend your life and be, you know, worn out at the end. Maybe at the end of the day, at the end of the week, at the end of the month, and, you know, at the end of this decade. For you, whatever decade this is for you, you know, you're going to be a little bit older by the end of it, you know? And it's going to happen anyway. We're going to lose our lives anyway. And so we have kind of two choices. One, we can embrace the pleasures of the world and all the world offers us and all the fun and avoiding pain and, you know, what's the easiest route to take so that I can feel good right now. But guess what? By choosing to feel good right now, I am going to end up probably, I'm going to end up just as old and sick and just as tired. Maybe even more so, but that's another story. And so think about somebody coming to the end of their life but there's nothing to show for all of those years, at least for the kingdom of God. Okay, that's one way to live. You can do that. I think one easy way to think about this is, you know, staying up late watching your favorite sports team, I don't even know who played last night. I mean, we can all be ecumenical right now, Michigan and Michigan State, you know, not playing each other yet. But you can, you know, you ever stay up late and you watched your team lose anyway? Maybe you had a few beers. Maybe you over-imbibed, which, besides being a sin, makes you feel terrible the next day. And this is kind of like, well, embrace the world and all its pleasures. Just have another one. Just have another one. Just stay up later. Just kind of, like, I really didn't spend any of my life partying. But I've definitely stayed up way too late for no good reason. And the next day, I was tired anyway, right? That's one way to be tired. Here's another way to be tired. Wake up at 2 a.m. and do a holy hour until 3 a.m. and then go back to bed. That's what I do on Thursday nights for fun. Actually, no, it's because that's what the Exodus 90 group does, and as their pastor, I can only miss so many of those without... It's not peer pressure, but it is peer pressure, okay? And so, yeah, am I suffering on Friday? Because so it's Thursday night, 2 a.m. to 3 a.m., so, you know, Friday morning at 2 a.m., I guess. Why does it happen Thursday night? Because Friday is the day of penance, and believe me, Friday is the day that it hurts. But I've spent plenty of days where I was sick, and I was tired, and I was worn out for some other reason. And you know, you're going to spend your life on something. Is it something that will matter for eternity? Are you spending your life on something that brings eternal reward? Or are you spending your life on something that just makes you sicker and tireder? That question, Jesus says, well, whoever wishes to save his life will lose it anyway. That's my addition, okay? Not probably the best thing to do to add words to the Bible, but I think we need to just hear that. That's what St. John Vianney meant. You have less to suffer by embracing the cross and all of its difficulties than the world and the pleasures. Why? Because the suffering that we offer up because we're doing a 2 a.m. holy hour, or you woke up early to pray, or you know, you were helping your spouse. The suffering that you're doing for the Lord brings an eternal reward, and it brings great joy because there's meaning and purpose in it, right? It isn't going to make you rich and healthy, but it is going to give you meaning and purpose. And that's a good reason to be tired. There's actually a verse in the Bible that says, the work that God gives you, grow old in it. And there's a great joy in growing old in doing what is good, doing good works. We're not earning our way to heaven. I'm not going to preach a homily on the second reading, although we could. Faith is God's gift. And when it's real, you see it in the works. It's shown forth in what we do. So, whoever loses his life for my sake and that of the gospel will save it. Jesus is saying this. Now, I think that we underestimate this, you know, and a good example of this would be Jim Elliot. Now, Jim Elliot is a Protestant saint. Not that Protestants have saints, but if they did, this would be one of their saints, okay? Anyone know who Jim Elliot is? Okay. My Protestants who've joined the Catholic Church in the front row over here, they know who Jim Elliot is, all right? Jim Elliot was a missionary, and along with some other men, he went to South America. I don't exactly remember where, but the Aka tribe did not know the gospel, and they decided, we are going to go take the gospel to these Aka, you know, this tribe, and they had been very remote, very little contact with the outside world, and people look at embracing the cross and they say it's foolish. And people would have looked at the men. Nate Saint was one of the guys. Jim Elliot was one of the guys. I don't remember how many there were. But when they landed their plane, they got out and they were, as I understand, they were speared to death pretty quickly by the natives. The natives did not know what they were doing, did not understand what they were saying. They were trying to preach to them. These guys got speared to death while preaching the gospel to people who didn't understand them yet. And the world would say, well, that was really imprudent. Wow, how foolish is that? But there's a movie about this, because that's not the end of the story. The wives and the children went back. Well, the wives, but there's a really cool story of forgiveness in the movie. Is it End of the Spear? Into the Spear? And there's incredible conversion that happens when people realize what those men were doing because their wives went. So was it foolish? Here's the quote from Jim Elliot. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. So Jim Elliot loses his life. He gave his life. Why? To gain heaven. Not just for him, but for all the people who were killing him, and for all their children, and their children, and their children. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. This life, you're going to lose it one way or the other. Are you going to give it to the Lord so that you can gain eternal life for you and for those that you love? If you would want to do that, it involves embracing the cross. Jesus says, if you would be my disciple, if you would follow after me, if you want to be in the church, we think the church is a collection of people who joined a club or something. It's not. It's a group of people who've decided, well, I want to follow Jesus. I want to be his disciple and learn from him. I believe in him. And so Jesus says, if you would want to do that, okay, if you want to follow me, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. And this embrace of the cross is counterintuitive. Yesterday we celebrated, Saturday was the feast of the exaltation of the cross. And I just want you to think about the exaltation of the cross. What a weird thing to say. The cross is where you execute criminals. It's just a weird thing in general to say, my Lord and Savior is a convicted felon, is an executed criminal. That's who I follow. But that's what we're saying. That's what the early Christians were saying. And the exaltation of the cross, and this might offend you, but it sounds a little bit like the exaltation of the electric chair. And if that sounds a little inappropriate for church, now you're starting to understand the scandal of the cross and just how God-forsaken it was when somebody would die in that way. Everyone would have viewed it like that. What's the point of exalting the cross? It's suffering. It's degradation. It's dehumanizing. It's death. Why would you exalt the cross? As the early church fathers say, the cross is a war memorial. That's the field of battle, the cross itself, on which Jesus conquered Satan, sin, and death. And it's a reminder of what he's done for us. Every time you make the sign of the cross, you're remembering that the instrument of death that the evil one put Jesus onto was the very means with which Jesus conquered death and conquered Satan. It's also, the cross is a taunt to Satan. You are taunting him and saying, the very thing with which you tried to, you killed God, the Son of God, Jesus, who is God, that's the very thing by which you were defeated. And the way in which the cross comes to you in your daily life, to embrace that, is how you will actually defeat the evil one. We're not looking for suffering, but suffering will come. We'll have these decisions. Should I love my spouse unconditionally today? Should I embrace the cross of, that might be your cross today. What about my children? Or what about my family? Or what about, there are these moments of choosing, will I actually embrace the cross? Because we have the choice. Some suffering comes to us and we can either dodge it or we can take it on. Some suffering we can't really dodge, but we can either embrace or we can complain about and not really embrace it. And what Jesus is saying is, I'm asking you to embrace it with me and offer it up with me and to realize that like me, you also will conquer the evil one through embracing the cross, through denying yourself and taking up that cross of being my disciple. There are moments where we could avoid our Christian faith or avoid our association with Jesus or sometimes with other Christians, and it would be easier for us. Jesus is inviting us not to avoid that, but to actually embrace that. There are many times where we could allow the consequences of love to be something we don't really follow. Consequences of love sounds so dire, but the sacrifice that it entails. What did it mean when Jesus embraced the cross? He's embracing suffering out of love for God the Father and obedience to the will of the Father, and out of love for you and me, because to save us from to save our souls. And when you embrace the cross, it's the same. When I embrace the cross, it's the same. I love God, I want to do his will, and I want to help save other people. Yeah, I'm going to lose my life because I can't do the thing this evening that I wanted to do. But I was going to lose that time anyway. It's eventually going to be over anyway. You know what isn't going to be over? Heaven and eternity. And am I investing this time? Well, it's a bad investment to give away everything in your life just to gain stuff that you can't take with you when you go. So as we hear these words of Jesus, I think we should also hear the words of Jim Elliot in our minds. You're no fool. By embracing the cross today and the ways that it comes to you today, you're no fool to give up what you can't keep in order to gain something you can never lose.